Good morning, Yeshayahu. Chapter 55. I'm sorry, did I tell you 54? I confused you. It's all right.
Do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah, I'll take a cup of tea, yeah. No, no, not that, not that. No, no, that's, you know. Chapter 55. You will remember last week, most of the shiur was on that pasuk that the Rambam clarifies so beautifully, kol kli yutzar. You remember that? Any implements that will be raised against you, kol kli yutzar. Isn't that what I said? That was the in chapter 55, pasuk 17, kol kli yutzar olayach lo yitzlach v'chol lashon takum yitach lamishpat tarshi zot nachalat avdei Hashem v'tzidkatan yitin yom Hashem. That throughout history there were two ways that Sona Yisrael attempted to destroy the Jewish people, either through, yes, destruction, or through the embrace of killing with kindness, and neither one is going to succeed. Hatzileni no, as Yaakov prays, Hatzileni no miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav. Save me if he comes against me as a brother, and save me if he comes against me as Esav. And which one am I frightened of more? I am more frightened of Esav when he comes as a brother. Of course, we gave American Jewry as the example of the kiss that really turned out to be a kiss of death for millions. We have no idea the extent to which the open society, the promiscuous society of the United States, has profoundly affected Jewish identity and Jewish survival. In chapter 55, pasuk 6, we come to the chapter which is a Haftorah read more than any other chapter. Now you need a Navi. That comes a few psukim in over there. Without a Yeshayahu, you can't learn Yeshayahu without it. So I don't know, you'll just... I didn't bring any extras. I didn't even bring one for my wife. I didn't bring your Tanakh. You have one? No, I have. Chapter 55, pasuk 6, begins the Haftorah for fast days. That means this Haftorah is read on Shiva, also the Tammuz, on Asara B'Teves, on Tzom Gedalia. Tainus Esther? Yeah. What else? I left one out. Tisha B'Av by Mincha, I believe, not Tisha B'Av in the morning. Tzom Gedalia, did I say Tzom Gedalia? All right. This is the Haftorah for all fast days. And it's of course it's a fascinating Haftorah. Dirshu Hashem v'himatzo, k'ra'uhu b'yoto karov. Seek out God when he is found. Call unto him when he is close. At one place the Gemara says, when is he close? Elu asara yamim, these are the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. It also means, by extension, every fast day, God is close. All you have to do is stretch out your hand to meet with him. Seek him when he is found. Dear Shu Hashem Bihimatso, Kira'uhu Biyoto Karo, call unto him when he is close. The Yazov Rashadarko, let the Rasha forsake, leave the path that he is on. V'ish oven machshavotav, and a person should set aside the evil of his thoughts, his evil intentions. V'yashov el Hashem v'yirachameu, and return to God, who will either have mercy on him or love him. V'el Elokeinu, and to our God. Ki yarvel is loach, because he will be forgiven. Now, you don't have this, but I just want to read a few words from the Malbim. The rest of the Malbim you're going to have in front of you. He says, Yesh mi sheshavel Hashem yitzav shemakir shehu Hashem borei ha'olam v'zeh hashav me'ahava. There is a person who achieves or reaches an intellectual recognition. That's God. He's creator of heaven and earth, and therefore I want to join with him. This is a tshuva that comes as a result of, yes, the intellectual understanding, which means that it is an act of love. There is a person who does tshuva not because of his love of God, but fear of punishment. Fear of punishment. Listen, you know, I want to stay on God's good side. So he says, Yazov Rosha Darko, let the Rosha forsake his path, leave his path, V'ish Aben Mashavotav, and a person his evil thoughts, V'yashov El Hashem, the one who returns to Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the one who returns because he has achieved a recognition and a knowledge and an understanding of what Yud Kei Vav Kei is, what God is. And therefore, v'yirachameu. I've told you on a number of occasions that the word rachamim has a translation in addition to mercy, pity, or compassion. The word rachamim also means love. And this certainly appears in Talmud, in Aramaic. It's always used that way. One's friend is mirachamohi. The one who loves him. For Yashov Hashem, there is the one who will return to God, and because he has achieved an understanding of God. He knows that this is the creator of the world. It's not fear that compels him. It's not something pushing him, but he senses a pull. Something that attracts him magnetically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the first part of the pasuk when it said Ya'azov Rasha Darko, Darko means an intellectual path. Everybody has a dera. Nobody is ready to admit that they do things simply out of evil intention or just lust, desire, passion. No. Let's use more contemporary terms. There are lifestyles, and then there are alternative lifestyles. One is not, we're long past the stage where one is going to admit that one's lifestyle is ugly. No, no, no. You have a lifestyle. I'm entitled to my lifestyle. Also, that's the derech of the Rasha. From a derech, one changes derech intellectually. Ish oven machshavosav is a person whose thoughts are, he knows, he's bad. It's the result of lust and passion. So to the Rosha it says, V'yoshov el Hashem, a change of derech, a change of direction. He recognizes the existence of a creator. And then God, so that means what compels him is that he is drawn magnetically to God, and therefore it is love that brings him there, and therefore v'yirachameu, God will love him. V'el Elokeinu, and then there's the one that returns to Elokim. What is Elokim? Elokim has another meaning in Torah. Elokim also means judge, the one who meets out justice. The one who punishes. In Parshat Mishpatim, it says a number of times that when there is a struggle between two people, then they should come Elohim. They come before Elohim. Elohim means the one who judges, who punishes. So therefore, the second part of the pasuk is there is the one who should return Elokeinu, and this already is for fear of punishment. Because even though it's not out of the pull of love, but it is the push of fear, because God is greatly forgiving. He will forgive even the one who acts not out of love, but acts out of fear. Ki lo machshavotai machshavoteichem velo darcheichem derachai. Interesting that the same two words that were used in Pasuk 7 are being used here. There's a derech and there is a machshava. And you'll see right away, here is going to be the Malbim's introduction to everything that you're going to see on the sheets that you have in front of you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My way is not your way, Noam Hashem, says God. Here I want you to listen to what the Malbim says. What the Navi now is going to do is he's going to respond to the two claims that militate against the idea of tshuva. Tshuva is not a simple idea to understand. The two problems that we have with tshuva is tshuva leaves the impression that God changes his mind. In other words, God had decided, I'm going to punish him, and then God changes his mind. Now, the idea of God changing his mind is philosophically unacceptable. What are you talking about? The relation. All right? Now you're going to punish? Now I punish him? Now I don't. I love him? I love him not. And the idea that the change within the realm of God is something that is philosophically and theologically unacceptable. So there are those who claim, what do you mean tshuva? He's going to do tshuva, and therefore God is going to say, okay, I forgive you. That's a change in God's thought. He changed his mind. The second claim against tshuva is, you can't undo the past. What's done is done. What do you mean you did tshuva? You did all sorts of avedas, and then you get up over there and you say, you know, I'm sorry, and the Rebbeinu was going to forgive. What do you mean? What you did was did. What you done was done. It's over. Finished. You can't undo the past. So he says the Navi now is going to deal with these two ideas that seem to militate against the whole idea of tshuva. And he says, that's why Hashem says, Lo machshavotai machshavoteichem, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Meaning, man has absolutely no idea what goes on in God's mind and how God's mind works. We are judging him on the basis of our own experience. That we make up our mind, and then we change our mind. We make up our mind, and we change our mind. There is absolutely no comparison between God's mind and man's mind. You have no idea how my mind works. He says, what would seem to you to be a change of my mind, like, here I was. That's right. We're not going into the government. We're going to hand in our resignation. But you don't know what my thoughts are. Okay? Sunday morning, we'll see what happens Sunday morning. I won't even be able to, I don't have any. I'll be nervous like a rat. Lo mashavotai, you don't know how God's mind works. And most probably God's mind is capable, it embraces all of history in one single moment of time. There is no difference by God between past, present, and future. There is no limitation of time on God. Time is something that only affects man who lives on the face of this earth. God is above and beyond time. I don't expect you to understand it. I'm only saying the words because I know that to be true. I don't understand it either. It's something that's completely out of the realm of our experience. And therefore he says, You can't begin to understand how my mind works, because you have a mind that's limited in time. You go from one moment to the next, and therefore, now you've made a decision, and now you've changed your mind. But I see it all in one single instant of time. I know it all. And therefore, it's not a matter of, I've made a decision, I know what you're going to do later, though. All of this goes into the hopper together, so therefore my thought process is completely different than yours. And then v'lo darchechem d'rachai, the way, the road that I have paved is different than anything you may be aware of. I created a situation in which, yes, I left open from the very beginning the possibility of undoing man's evil. Ki lefi darki, the Malbim says, according to my road, shesalauti b'mitzvos, that I paved in the performance of mitzvos, shenatati el ha'adam, that I gave to man, yuchal l'taken avatato ayidei charot alavad, man is able to correct it by regretting it. Kemosha avayir, as I will explain. Now, something else that's very fascinating, so beautiful, Lamar. Take a look at the structure of these six words. Ki lo machshavotai machshavoteichem, v'lo darcheichem d'rachai. Do you see what seems to be a lack of symmetry? In the first half, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I would expect now that it should say, my way is not your way. Lo machshavotai machshavoteichem, v'lo d'rachai darcheichem. But that's not what the Navi says. The Navi says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your paths are not my path. Because in the first half, when he's talking about thought, what is he referring to? He's referring to the mind, the process of God's mind, which man is incapable, absolutely incapable of comprehending. So he says the following, V'hinei b'tchilo amar, at first he says, ki lo machshavotai machshavoteichem, u'bishmiya amar beheva. The second phrase in the pasuk is the opposite, v'lo darcheichem, your paths, I'm not drachai, my path. Ki atano harishono hinichu mitzad iyunam al machshavat Hashem. What's the first complaint against Juba? What is the first idea that seems to work against the idea of Tshuva? Because God is changing his mind. So he says, wait a minute. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thought process doesn't work the way your thought process works. Ki hatana rishona, the first complaint, hinichu mitzad iyunam al machshavat Hashem. This is because we think that we understand how God thinks. Because Rubi Iyunam and man decided intellectually, Shenimna Sheyishtane Milora Tzelera, God doesn't change his mind. We decided intellectually God doesn't change his mind. And since he doesn't change his mind, because if he changes his mind, that would mean that there was something lacking in God. Since God is absolute perfection, now don't we always look at it, somebody changes their mind, something was wrong, you didn't have it thought out well, it means that there's something lacking. Not only in women, they have a right to change their mind, but men, we also change our minds, quite often, and it means that there's something lacking in us, right? Now we are now attributing that weakness to God as well, that when he's changing his mind. So he says, lo machshavotai, my thoughts, you don't understand my thought process. Lo machshavotai, v'imkein ha'mofet shiviu hi'machshavat Hashem. What is the first complaint against Tshuva? The first complaint against Tshuva is God's mind. So he says, no, my mind is not your mind. You cannot comprehend my mind. Just as you cannot achieve a knowledge of the essential nature, the essence of God, you certainly can't understand how God's mind works. The second complaint against Tshuva was Because you know where it comes from? The second complaint is we take a look at what happens in this world. Somebody does something, it's done. You can't undo it. And therefore, the complaint against Tshuva is, what are you talking about? You're going to turn around. I had a terrible thought that occurred to me this morning. I'll just throw it out because it upset me so much. What would have happened if Hitler and Ashima, now that's maybe too scary, Assad, before he died, he would have done tshuva and converted to Judaism. Adolf Hitler would turn into a chreis b'ris mila and kabbalas mitzvahs, a chreis before an Orthodox Beis Din, not the chas v'shalom conservative form. It was a frightening thought. It was a frightening, frightening thought. And what would we be able to do? We would be so thanked out, the Rebbein Shem of Geholfen, that he didn't. But the fact is that I remember that was one of, because that was one of the complaints in against the Christian church, the Catholic church. If Hitler would have embraced Christ before he died, in Christian theology, Hitler would have a place of honor in heaven. But his 6 million victims who did not embrace Christ would burn forever in purgatory. I don't want to use since all of a sudden that thought occurred to me. I don't know, just so it went through and sent a shiver down my spine. So the second complaint is because that which is done can't be undone. So where do we begin? Where do we begin thinking? We begin thinking about how things work in this world. In this world, something that's done. Reuven killed. That's all. I mean, that's all. Reuven killed Shimon. He killed Shimon, and Shimon is just never going to come back to life again until there's a race and finished. It's all over. Can't undo it. So now you're going to turn around and say that you're sorry? So what is it that compels us not to accept the idea of tshuva? Our way of looking at things. In this world, you do something, it's done. So therefore, the second phrase of the pasuk is, lo darcheichem. You're looking at it from the point of view of your path. But that's not mine. I have a completely different path. And he's going to explain that in the psukim to come. By the way, of course, there's no question about it. Aside from the fact that the psukim themselves are, of course, talking about tshuva, and every fast day is a day of tshuva, there's a great deal more involved. The very essential nature of tshuva is going to be explained in this chapter. Kigavu pasuk 9. Here you already have, those of you who have a sheet in front of you, you can look at your sheets already. It's on top, Reish. Pay Dalit, right? Yes. Ki gavu shamayim me'oretz kein gavu derachai mitarcheichem. Just as the heavens rise higher above the earth, kein gavu derachai mitarcheichem. My path rises above your path, umachshavotai. By the way, again, the same two phrases, but here they are following in a pattern. So too are my road higher than yours. And my thoughts rise higher than yours. I'm just going to read a few psukim in the text, and then we're going to go through the Malbim, because the Malbim is extremely crucial to the whole idea of tshuva. Just as the rain and the snow comes down from the heaven, v'shama lo yashuv, and there it will not return, ki'im, unless, hirva et ha'aretz, it has slaked the thirst of the earth. Hirva, where do you have, give me two places where you have this word or a word similar to it. Yirviyun mideshen beitecha is a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Yirviyun mideshen beitecha. Or, let me give you another. Kosirevaya in Mizma Ledavada. Kosirevaya means that my cup, well, how it floweth over. What Revoya really means is a person who is ra'ev, hungry, and he eats, he becomes soveya. The person who is samei, who is thirsty, and he drinks, he becomes raver. The slaking of thirst. And therefore, kosid voyam means, yes, my cup runneth over because there's a great deal of liquid in it. We also have... There is a gan raver, pasuk in Tanakh. For 40 years, I've been davening Tal for the Amid.
I know it's
my father. Sing it. Gan, that's right. Tal no vezale, eret verucho. That's Yossele Rosenblatt's Tal, that's right. The word Rafe appears there too. Where do we have the word? Hirvani lana, is that in Hazinu? No, Eicha, Hizbi ani. That's a great pasuk. Hizbi ani bamerodim, hirvani lana. In Eicha we say God has sated us with moro, with bitter herbs or bitter fruit. Hirvani lana. Lana is a poisonous drink. Hirvani lana. I remember when I told you that pasuk. We told you that pasuk in connection with a medrash. The medrash says the following, and it's also our halacha in Shulchan Aruch. We talked about At Bash Gar Dach, the first day of Pesach. Aleph, the first night of Pesach is always the same as the night of Tisha B'Av. So the medrash says, "Is biyani bamerodim." The night on which we become sated with maror is the same night as Hirvani Lana, the night that we drank from the cup of poison, Hirvani. Ki kashe yedet hakeshem v'ashelig min hashamayim v'shama lo yoshuv. Just as the rain and the snow comes down from the heaven and it will not return, ki im hirva et haaretz, unless it has slaked the thirst of the earth. Vaholita, and has given birth, vehitzmicha, and has caused growth, venatan zera lo zorea, and it is going to prepare, it's going to make a seed for the one who plants, velechem, and then the seed is going to become the bread laokel to the one who eats, ken yiyed devari asher yetzei mipi, so will be my word that goes out of my mouth, lo yoshuv elai they come, it will not return empty. Ki im osa et asher chafavsti, v'hitzliach asher shalachtiv, unless it does that which I have wanted, and it will succeed in the path that I sent it. What does it all mean? So now, immediately on the bottom, over here, under the text, the Malbim begins down at the bottom of the page. Third line, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, sorry, yeah. Oh no! These psukim are going to be the answer. The answer is only coming now. Oh, well, let's see what Yeshayahu has to say. Wait a minute. Yeah, I know what you're saying. One of the ideas it's also the idea of a change of name. In other words, if God said that such and such person should be punished, oh, but this is not the same person anymore. Yeah, but let's see what... Good. Ki gavu, just as the heavens are rise high above the earth, kvar pidish bo ikurim. The ikurim is the sefer or ikurim that was written by Rabbi Yosef Albo. The ikurim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, must have been 600-700 years ago, one of the classic texts of Jewish faith. Kvar pidish bo ikurim, what he means to say over here is Shalot Tomar Shahevdel Bein Machshavotai U Machshavotechem Hurak Hevdel the Pachot V'Yoter. It's very beautiful the way he says it. Don't for a moment think that the difference between my thoughts and your thoughts is a difference between more or less. You know, I'm more and you're less. That we're on the same level, but you know, I have an IQ of 160 and you have an IQ of 120. No, no. Sefer Rikum says, no, that's not the difference between God's thoughts and man's thoughts. That ki ein beinehem erech v'yichus klau. There is no comparison between the two. You can't mention the two in the same breath. It's not that it's a difference in quantity, it's a difference in essential nature and in quality. Just as you cannot compare mitziyut, that which exists, v'ha'eder, and that which does not exist. You can't compare the two. It's not like, it's much different than even apples and oranges. We're talking about two things that simply are incomparable. Came both and there in the same way. Gavu derachai midarchechem she derachai gevohim betachlus hamayla aval darchechem enam gevohim klau. It's not that I'm higher than you. I am higher and completely different. We inhabit completely different spheres. My thoughts and my ways are completely, completely different, separate, distinct from yours. Ki kasher. Now watch. Mifarer debarav b'moshel echad. He's now going to explain, Yishayahu explains his words by using a parable. Yoshiv al shnei ha'tanot ha'nizkari. He is going to respond to the two complaints against the whole idea of tshuva. B'sheyomar, by saying the following. Aleph. HaTorah v'haMitzvot sheNatan Hashem el HaAdam la'avdo l'shamro, Torah and mitzvot that God gave to man that he should watch them and guard them. Lo nitna lo barbur shaHashem yasig to'elet o hetzeid min hashomer mitzvah o hachoteva. Up at the top of the next page. Don't for a moment think that Torah and mitzvot that were given to man were for God's sake. It makes no difference to God if you do mitzvahs, if you don't do mitzvahs. It's not going to make any change in his essential nature. It's not for God's sake, it's for man's sake. That's what Torah mitzvahs are. Ki Hashem lo chaser davar, there's nothing lacking to him. Ve'in lo tzorech el davar yashlim oto zulato. He doesn't need anything outside of himself to complete him. There's nothing he's lacking, and now, I did a mitzvah. Oy, a few mitzvahs. There's nothing lacking in him, so the purpose of Torah mitzvahs is not for his sake. Torah mitzvahs were given for the benefit of man. That he should complete himself through them. Torah and mitzvahs is that which is going to create the good, the full, the complete, the healthy human being. Ve'eib chotova avaral mitzvah, when he sins and he transgresses against the mitzvah, lo la'ashem chota, it's not a sin against God. Lo hishchit, he's not causing any destruction to God. Dak la'atzmo, the only one who he's hurting himself. Ve'lachein eib yashuv meido adarko. Therefore, when he turns back from the evil of his way, Yeshiveu Hashem b'tshuva, God will bring him back in tshuva. V'zeh tshuva latana she'omar aleha v'lo darchechem derachai. This is the answer on the complaint that God says, lo darchechem, their ways are not my ways, ki darchechem mishunim mitzad zeh. Your ways are different. She'ha'eved ha'apol yavid l'toelet adonav. A servant or a person who's an employee works for the benefit of his master. If I'm working for somebody and I mess it up, so who am I hurting? I'm hurting my employer. He has ruined the work of his master. So therefore, saying you're sorry doesn't make any difference. Lo kein darki, that's not my way. Shani eini mekabel toelet v'hesed mima'aseichem. If I work for somebody of flesh and blood who needs my work for him, without me he can't do a certain job. What happens if I mess it up so he's lost? He loses out on it. God does not need my mitzvahs to complete him, which means it has no impact on God himself. Who does it have an impact on? It only impacts upon man. So therefore, if man turns around and does tshuva and says, I'm sorry, so the Rebbeinu can very easily say, fine, I accept it, because there's nothing you've done to me. You haven't caused me, God, any kind of loss whatsoever. Now watch the second. Bet. HaShefer HaElokit Yoredet Tamid B'li Hefsek HaKel Yitein Achtov V'Chesed. Very important comment that he makes now. Major thought. There is goodness. There's an abundance of goodness that comes down from heaven. It's there. It's available throughout the world. God is always showering his goodness upon people. The only thing that can stand in the way of man receiving it, if he's not ready to receive, the problem always lies with him. If man has not prepared himself to receive God's goodness, right? So then he's not going to receive it. There's no change happening in God. In other words, it doesn't mean that when a man does tshuva, now the Rabbi Shem, who had turned off the faucet, is not going to turn on the faucet because he changes his mind, and now I turn on the faucet, and now you're going to get my goodness and my abundance coming down. No! The goodness and abundance always is there. The difference is, listen, in days of old, or even today, if we have the infrastructure, I don't know why, for some reason I don't like that word, but I can't find it. Everything over here is our infrastructure. If you have the infrastructure with which to collect rainwater, then you can have rainwater. You'll collect it. What happens if you don't have the infrastructure? The rain can come down, but you haven't collected it. Yes?
I could see where people would have a big problem with that concept. There's too many instances in Jewish history where people have been praying and willing and praying to receive God's abundant goodness, but it is not this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always stuck there because I think that we're going to be tormented for many years to come by our inability to understand the Shoah. It's always going to come up. I could see it written not only on your face, on other faces. Yeah, so therefore I'm going to have to say something like Esther Punin. There are moments in history at which God has to, so to speak.
Available.
You're right. Yeah, I know. So you're going to have to somehow or other. The Shoah always comes in the way. And I tell you, I understand. I understand now, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I think I've mentioned this once. I was at a convention 2 years ago. I think this is the one that I had the flat tire getting to. And there are times at which I think that maybe Tzadik would not fix the flat tire and wouldn't have gotten to the convention. I would have been better off. Because one of the great educators of Jerusalem got up and it was a discussion of the Shoah. And he went on and on. He went on and on about what the Shoah did to strengthen Jewish faith. I'm sitting there, and if Kukiman, I think he's out of his cotton picking mind. I don't know what's going on. No, I'll tell you, I'm afraid that I was a coward, and I regret having been a coward, but I was a coward Laman Am Yisrael Veretz Yisrael. At the next major session for the whole convention, that was... Aaron was there too. This was a convention last year. Aaron was there too. We were going to speak about Eretz Yisrael. I didn't want to get into any fights with anybody until I had my say about Eretz Yisrael. And he's going on and on, so I controlled myself. Even though later he said, Rabbi Gold, I saw your kippah burning on your head. It's true. It's true. He went on and on about the tremendous, what that did for Jewish faith. And then, of course, there was somebody else, another educator, who got up and commented that these are the people that are educating our children who are in serious trouble. And he told the story there of somebody he knows. He met somebody who lived in Frankfurt before the war, and their son was planning on going to dental school, and then Hitler marched in, and they had to flee. And after the war, the son went to learn in a kollel. We should give Hitler the Kesser Torah Award. Somebody went to learn in kollel as a result of the Shoah. Yippee! That wouldn't have happened in Mackenzie's Plotzfeld. By the way, I'm quoting exactly what was said. I haven't embellished it. Cannot be sure of that. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in other words, what I really wanted to get up and say is, it's all very good. What a terrific thing the Shoah was. Yippee for the Shoah. We should say Hallel, you know, with a bracha on Yom HaShoah. Except that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said precisely the opposite. He said that in the wake of Shoah, there was a mass movement out of Judaism. Justifiably so. And the only thing that saved faith by the Jewish people was the establishment of the State of Israel. Now, by the way, it's written in his Sefer, so I didn't make it up. In other words, great Haredi Rosh Shiva said, I mean, that's what I was going to get up and say. I should have. In other words, your Gedolim said, so you're telling me that Rabbi Yaakov was wrong? No. People came out of the Shoah. Great. The truth is that the Shoah keeps coming in over there. So we have to just sort of put it to the side and say it's the charig, the exception that we don't understand. But listen, you know, Moshe, you got another problem. How are you going to make your way through the first bracha invention? Hazonis olam kulo v'tuvei b'chein b'chesed u'rachamim who knows ein lechem l'chol basar. There's a constant outpouring of God's greatness. I mean, the way I usually understand it is there's enough food in the world to provide for everybody. Nobody in the world should go to sleep hungry. There shouldn't be a billion hungry children in the world. The one who's really creating all of the problem is simply the fact that man is not distributing the food that's available in the world in the way in which it should be distributed. The Rebbeim has it there. It's there. It's available. It can be taken from the earth. I mean, how many stories? Every few weeks you have stories of all sorts of relief materials that come. Also, but built into the world, if not for man's evil, let's put it that way. Built into the world, if not for man's evil. And man must have, and man must have the right, must have the license or the ability to do evil. Otherwise, the world is a meaningless world. So what the Malbim is talking about, we have to put it on that basis. I think it's becoming a little clearer to me too. If we remove man's evil from the equation, then there is an outpouring of God's goodness constantly coming down. The question is, am I ready to accept it? Have I prepared myself to be the recipient of God's goodness? And the example, of course, that I've used is, if we have the infrastructure with which to collect rainwater, we're going to collect rainwater. If we don't have that infrastructure, it's all going to go to waste. That means if man makes himself a receptacle of God's blessings, then he's going to receive it. So it means, therefore, it's in a sense similar to what you were saying, Sarah. God remains constant. His blessing is cancelled. The only thing is, I've made a change in me. Before, I was not a receptacle for blessing. I wasn't worth it. I didn't deserve it. Now I've changed myself, so I've made myself now the receptacle. In this way, God's ways are completely different than ours. Take a look. It's good. I'm beginning to understand it better. Hashefa, by the little bit, Hashefa Elokid, God's bounty, Yoredet Tomid B'li Hefsek, comes down constantly without interruption. Hakel Yitain Ach Tov V'Chesed, God gives only good and kindness. V'Hakol Talui V'Hachanat HaMekabel, everything depends on the readiness of the recipient to receive. Shemi Shelo Hechinat Atzmo L'Kabel, the one who does not prepare himself to receive HaTova, the good. Dome Kemi Shelo Zorach, that's the beautiful muscle. God sends down rain on the fields. When is the rain that comes down on the fields, when is it going to be beneficial? If I've plowed and I planted, what happens if I didn't plow and I didn't plant and there are no seeds in the field? So what's going to happen with all the rain that comes down? Nothing is going to happen. It'll be a waste. Which means, in order to receive God's blessing of rain and snow, I have to prepare myself down here, just as the field has to be prepared in order to receive that blessing. It means, therefore, if one of the complaints against Tshuva is God changing his mind, no, God's not changing his mind at all. I'm changing. He's always ready to pour out his blessing. Am I ready to accept it, or am I not ready to accept it? So he says, this is the example of a field. Domek mishelo zora sadeu. It's similar to a person who did not plant his field. Shelo yoel lo hamoto. The rain is not going to help at all. Will not be beneficial. Ubazeh amalei. Ein loma shahashem nishtane milo rotze lerotze. So therefore you can't say that God has changed from one who doesn't want to do good to one who wants to do good. Dakshah mikabel nishtane milo muchan lemuchan. The recipient has changed from one who is unprepared to one who is prepared. That refers to what he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. The nosal zeh moshel min hageshem. And therefore he brings a moshel, a metaphor from the rain. The moshel hazeh nireh b'machazeh shtei hatshuvot haniskarot. And in this moshel we see the two answers that were given. And he says the following. There are two parts to the muscle of the rain. Kasher yedet hageshem vashelag min hashamayim. As the rain and the snow come down from the heaven, hageshem yoreid v'kayetz vashelag v'choref. Rain comes down in the summer. He's obviously talking chutzlaretz talk. Alright? The rain comes down during the summer and the snow in the winter. Because I think he has the right to do that here because he's talking about the world at large. This is not a parsha that is dealing specifically with Eretz Yisrael. So the rain, in other words, obviously always the difference between rain and snow is it's got to be real cold for snow when it doesn't have to be that terribly cold for rain. Rain comes down in the summer and snow comes down in the winter. Shneim ach yoredim and hashamayim la'aretz, both of them come down from heaven to earth. Avol v'shama lo yoshuv, it doesn't return there. Beautiful. I tell you the way he takes it faster than Tanakh. The rain that comes down from heaven, is that for heaven's benefit? Does heaven get anything out of it? Does the rain go back up to the heavens? No. The outpouring of rain and snow that comes down from the heavens is only for the Oretz, the benefit of the earth, not for the benefit of heaven. Isn't that what the Malbim had said before? God doesn't need us to perform Torah and mitzvahs for God's sake. It's for our sake. It's not the rain and the snow are not for the sake of Shamayim, but for the sake of Oretz. Ki im hirvot ha'oretz v'holida, zeh musav al ha'sheleg shepulato l'ravot et ha'oretz u'leholida shetiyem muchenet l'holid. What will the snow do? The snow is going to moisten the earth and prepare it to give birth V'yitzmicha, what causes the growth itself? That's the rain. The snow during the winter sort of prepares the earth, but the growth, the tzmicha, is going to come from the rain. Musa malageshen, that refers to the rain, shematzmiach, motzah desha, it brings out the grass. V'chein pulat hasheleg, hu kinatan zera lazoreya. The sheleg only helps if natan zera lazoreya, if the planter has planted seed. V'hageshem, what's the rain going to do? The rain is ultimately going to, the rain will bring forth the grain from which the bread will be made, and therefore that's going to give lechem, bread la'ochel. Avol shama lo yashuv, v'lo yavi b'yado l'chazara m'ruma. Doesn't go back to the heavens. Kein shefa Hashem, God's outpouring of goodness, yoredet rak lemata. It works in only one direction. It comes downward. Avol hu eino mekabel to'elet min ha-ma'aseh ha-tachtonim. He does not receive any benefit from that which is done by people below. Kinizkar b'hagdama aleph, as we said in the first introduction. Zot she'nit ra'inu. Now there's a second thing that we see. Ki agam she'hageshem ha-shelek yordim tamid b'li hishtanut. Though rain and snow can come down constantly, the change takes place below. One who didn't plant, the rain is not going to be of any benefit whatsoever. The person who doesn't want to eat, and he's not going to harvest the field, and he's not going to thresh the grain, he's not going to have bread. And that's why it says, enough on zera. Seed will be only for Zoraya, the one who man has to do his share. He doesn't do his share, there won't be anything. The lechem rak lochel, only for the one who eats. Lemechinat atzmolakach, the one who prepares himself for this. The habilti muhan, the one who's not prepared. Lo yikabel hashefa, he's not going to receive the bounty of the snow and the rain. Hagam shelo nase shinu b'hageshem atzmo, no change is taking place in the rain. Rak b'hamekabel. The change takes place in the recipient. Kain b'chol shefa ha'elokit yoredet b'shova below shim shinu. God's bounty comes down without any change. V'hashinu tiyeh mitzav chesron hachanat ha'mekapel. The only difference is going to be in, am I ready to receive or am I not ready to receive? Yes.
Because Hashem said that if the son of my mitzvah will be saying,
how do you like that? She says, the Shema, second chapter of Shema, Im Shema Teshmu, there'll be rain. And if you won't be Shema Teshmu, there won't be rain. So good to catch. So why is the Malvim saying that the Shefa is constantly coming back?
It's not even true. Talking to us.
The first thought that occurred to me was exactly what Rebbe was saying. It may be that's why he talks about snow in the winter and rain in the summer. Because in this respect, Eretz Yisrael is different than all other lands on the face of this earth. I've quoted it on a number of occasions. Rav Soloveitchik said, rain in Eretz Yisrael, or lack of rain in Eretz Yisrael, is a direct message from God. Any place else in the world, it's just part of that which God has implanted in nature. In other words, God's nature, yet there will be drought. There will be drought. But remember, if we look at it globally and not regionally, if we look at it globally and not regionally, it means that at any time, and that's what I was saying earlier, at any time there is enough blessing that comes down from heaven to provide for a whole world. If one country doesn't have, another country has, in the totality of the world's needs, the Rebbe Shem always makes sure that there will be enough. The only one who can mess up the works is man, either because of his evil or greed, I mean, whatever it is. But in terms of the world as a whole, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, we haven't come to it yet. Lo tohu v'ra'ah. God did not create the world that it should be a place that is null and void. Lo shevet yitzara. He formed it so that it should be inhabited. And he therefore built into nature that man will have what he needs. And when you look at it from the global point of view, it's always true. There may be, I was growing up when there was hunger in Biafra. But a world could have provided for Biafra. For all the hunger, any place in the world is capable. I mean, there were times that the great United States of America didn't want to let grain out of America because the futures markets in Chicago, believe me, I don't know what I'm talking about, but it sounds good, and you most probably don't know what I'm talking about either. The futures markets in Chicago would fall apart at the seams if too much grain is going to be moved from one place to the next. What are you talking about? It's not man's greed. And what, do you think that there should be any hunger there should have ever been hunger in Russia, and there was a tremendous amount of hunger? It's a big, fruitful Mother Russia country, but communism destroyed all initiative to even work the land. So you know what? Nosan zera lazoreya velechem laochel. You have to be prepared for the Shefa of Bracha. If you're not prepared for it, you're not going to get it. Alright, we're going to have to... No, they're going to wait. We're going to go another few minutes. Kein yet vari asher yetzei mipi. Because this is the end of the mashal. He gives us the mashal of the rain and the snow. And what's the meaning of the mashal? The meaning of the mashal is God is always pouring out. There's a constant outpouring of shefa, of abundance. Question is, am I ready to receive it, or am I not? Am I not ready to receive it? Kein yedvari ashi yetzei mipi, so shall be the word that goes out of my mouth. Return olam ki yesh evdel. There's a difference between hashaleach shliach umitzaveinu shiyasu bavuro davar l'tzarko. There's a difference between a person who sends a messenger and commands him that he should do something for his benefit. Somebody sends me as a messenger to do something. Now, I may be sent for the benefit of the sender. He needs something done. I may be sent for the benefit of the receiver. The receiver needs something done. If a person commands somebody, she asks, "Hello, double it, sir, I'm a messenger to bring 100 gold coins to an artisan to make something for somebody. If the artisan is going to do what the owner of the money wants, and he'll make the keli for him, the messenger is not going to return empty-handed. He's going to come back with the finished product. Lo yashuv hashaleach neikom ki yaviv yadav hakeli shebikesh. He's going to bring in his hand the keli that he asked for. Avolim lo yimalei chetzo. If he's not going to fulfill the will of the person who sent him the money, lo yaseh hakeli, and he's not going to make the keli, yashuv neikom, he's going to return empty-handed. Avolim mitzavei lasol davar letzorach mishin ishtalech alav. But if I'm sent not for the benefit of the sender, but the benefit of the recipient. L'mashul shesholeach me'az zehuvim minchat shai l'pino im yitchakein v'chokmat ha'refuah. I don't think the yeshiva world would like this. He says, man sends me as a shaliach to give 100 gold coins to the man's son so he should go to medical school. He should learn chokmat ha'refuah. Maybe he should, so he should learn in Kailu, you know? No. Should learn Chachmas Harifua. Strike that from the record. As im milei chetzo, if his will be fulfilled, v'hu shebino lomad Chachmas Harifua, his son did indeed use the money to learn medicine. Yoshuv hashaliach reikam. Then the shaliach is going to return empty-handed. Ki ein biyada, because there's nothing in it. he gave over the 100 zeruvim, and the 100 zeruvim were used for metzgol. Yeah. But if he didn't fulfill the will of the father, the son didn't learn medicine. And he brings the 100 pieces of gold to the father in return. The shaliach did not return empty-handed. Because he has the 100 gold coins in his hand. So shall be the word asher yetzei mipi. The word that comes out of God's mouth is Hatov v'Hashefa Sha'atzavel Yitzurim, the good and the bounty that I command for my creatures. Lo yoshuv elai dekam rak be'et asher im osa asher chafatzli. This is Pasuk 11. If they're going to do what I want, kein yet vori asher yetzei mipi, lo yoshuv elai dekam, you know, it will not return they come, except at the time, if they do what I wanted, she'oz yashuv they come v'lo yavim mi u'ma b'yado ki ani eini mekabel davar. If they do what I want, then I receive nothing back because there's nothing they can do for me. Avolim lo asach etzi. What happens if they don't do what I want? V'hu sham mekabel lo heichin etatzmo lekabel ato. The recipient did not prepare himself to receive the good. Al yodai through me, oz lo yashuv they come. It's not going to return empty-handed. Ki oz tashuv atova hu b'chazara, the good that God sends is going to return. V'zeu shama ki zeh rak im hitzliach asher shalachtiv. Im hitzliach mi sheshalachtiv elav v'uchan al ashefa hu kan. If he has succeeded, in other words, if I sent the rain and the land had been planted and it had been plowed and it is ready, it's not going to return to me anymore because it has done exactly what I wanted to do. To be continued in Yitzhak Hashem next week.